Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Stone Chapel Podcast. I'm David Capes at the Lanier Theological Library. Every year at the library, we host a lecture in Spanish for our Spanish-speaking friends. It's turned out to be just a wonderful thing that we do every year. And this year, Pablo de Hierros, who is a minister, an academic, a writer from Argentina, he joined us to talk about the church in the 21st century. He gave an excellent lecture to hundreds of people, and you can find a link in the show notes if you're interested. He agreed to join us today on the podcast to talk in English about some of the key ideas that he shared. These are ideas not just for the Latin American church or the South American church. They are for the European church and the North American church and the Australian church everywhere. We do well to listen and heed his wisdom. So today, Pablo de Hierros on the Stone Chapel Podcast.
My name is Pablo de Hierros. I'm from Argentina. And if I have to define myself, I could say that I'm a servant of the Lord, serving him in a variety of different spheres or fields. I served the Lord as pastor for 50 years and teacher, and also writing a good number of books that have been published mostly in Spanish.
Dr. Pablo de Hierros. Pablo, good to see you. Welcome to the Stone Chapel Podcast.
Well, thank you, David. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you.
This is your first time to be on with us, and we're actually face-to-face. You're here at the Lanier Theological Library, and you just gave a great lecture we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But before that, give us a little bit more about you. Where are you from originally, and how did you get involved in this ministry to be God's servant?
Well, the Lord called me when I was 11 years of age, and I began to preach when I was 15 years of age in a continuous way.
Wow.
I was born in Paraguay. My parents were Argentinian missionaries, medical missionaries serving in Paraguay, and they left Paraguay when I was 2 years, 2 years and a half. My father continued with his vocation as a medical doctor. He was a wonderful psychiatrist, and I grew in Argentina. When I was 17, I entered the seminary, got my degree after 5 years of study, that is at the seminary, then went to the university and served as pastor, and since then I've been involved in ministry. Of course, I continue with my studies at the university, and here in the States, I got the opportunity to be the first national guest professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Texas, Fort Worth, and I took advantage of that possibility to complete my doctoral studies. I got a PhD from Southwestern, and well, then it was one opportunity after the other to teach here and there. In fact, I teach in a number of colleges and seminaries here in the United States, and I would say almost in the five continents.
Well, you've been in some wonderful places and had some wonderful opportunities.
Yes.
And you've written a number of books as well. We're going to put some of those in our show notes, some information about a few of those. Some of those in Spanish, some of those been translated into English.
Yeah. Most of the books that I wrote are the result of my sermons and the ministerial experience and reflecting on what was going on in my church. I try to share with others my experiences. In more recent years, I've been trying to express by writing the knowledge that I've been collecting through the years in my field, which is history, and also my love, which is the Bible. And I edited, I'm the general editor of a study Bible, the New Reformation Bible in Spanish and in Portuguese, and the New Testament commentary that is being published at this moment in Spanish and in Portuguese.
Well, we need to make sure we have all those volumes. As you know, we're trying to build out our Spanish collection here because we've got a very robust and great Spanish-speaking community here. And having a commentary, having books in their original language, their heart language, as some people say, makes a big difference.
And it's not just a matter of language. It's also an issue of mentality, of the conception of the world. It's different. Not better or worse, but just different. Mm-hmm. And in that difference is the richness that you'll find in the body of Christ at the global level. Mm. Because the vision could be in details a little bit different and enriches other visions.
You came and did a wonderful lecture for us here at the Lanier Theological Library in April of 2024. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. Okay. The topic of your talk in Spanish was about the church in the 21st century. Yeah. And a lot of that comes out of your experience. You had some recommendations, you had some ideas, some reflections on that, on all of your experience. Yeah. Let's chat a little bit about that.
Yes, what I tried to share with the audience, which was a quite interesting audience, had a full house, and it was some issues to reflect upon. And I used the metaphor of axis. I spoke of a hermeneutical axis or approach because we need a new understanding, a new interpretation of what the church is in the world today. And that's due to the fact that we are going through new times, totally new times, new opportunities and new challenges that we need to take into serious consideration. There is a new orientation in terms of the fulfillment of the mission of the church. Also, I mentioned a ministerial axis or approach to the analysis of reality, a new understanding of the ministry. How do we perform ministry and the plurality of ministry that is becoming more and more evident, more appealing in these days. The need of using the gifts of the Holy Spirit as tools for the accomplishment of a better ministry in the service of the Lord and the service to the community. And also, not only rediscover, but reapply our conviction on the priesthood of all believers. This was a wonderful finding by Luther in the 16th century, but regretfully, because of the paradigm of Christendom, it was not well applied. We continue to be, with denominationalism, we continue to be clerical, and the ministry was an issue of the specialized people or those called to be priests. And this is not what is written in the New Testament. Luther rediscovered that, but he didn't dare to apply it.
He didn't go far enough.
Exactly. Even the Anabaptists, who somehow tried to break the captivity, the clerical captivity in the church, didn't manage to fulfill this principle in the scriptures that is so important in terms of the fulfillment of the mission.
So if you were to define the priesthood of all believers today, how would you define it? What's the right way to think
about it? I would say that instead of a church with one pastor, I would like to build up a church of pastors. Which means?
Which everybody's a pastor?
No, pastor is in the professional sense of the word, but pastor in the sense of minister. Everybody preaching the word, everybody giving testimony of Jesus, everybody healing the sick, everybody knowing how to set an oppressed person free. To do that, you need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If the tools that the Lord has given the church to fulfill the mission are in the hands of a few, you will never, ever will fulfill the mission. But if the gifts, the tools are in the hands of everybody and the leaders fulfill their ministry which is to train the believers to the work of the ministry. This is not an invention by me. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Mm. So the problem is that the leaders have taken the whole responsibility, and they have not trained the believers to have a positive participation in
the
ministry.
People don't feel confident to do that, do they?
They do not feel confident because they, on the one side, they have not been taught to be confident. Confidence comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why, to the Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't have authority nor power. Acts 1:8. So Jesus said, promised, when the Spirit comes, you will have power and authority to be my witnesses.
And that's where the confidence comes
exactly.
from.
Exactly. Yeah. There comes the confidence. If I'm a pastor and I preach that on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I train the members of the church in that field, to encouraging each one of them to exercise at least the gift they have received, according to Peter, 1 Peter 4:10, the gift that each one has received. There is no question that every believer at least one gift has received. Mm-hmm. Then you have not only to train them, but also to give them the opportunity to serve with the gift that they have received. And they will, through the exercise of that gift, they will develop the ministry that the Lord is assigning them to fulfill. Let me illustrate. We need teachers for Sunday school. In most cases in evangelical churches, we look for teachers in public schools to teach in Sunday school.
Yeah, you're right.
The Bible doesn't say anything about that. I'm not saying that a public teacher is not a good teacher of the Bible.
Right.
But to teach the Bible, you need a person with a gift of teaching and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that person probably will not be a scholar nor have any academic degree, but will be filled with the Holy Spirit and have an understanding of the Word and a capacity of communicating that will be supernatural. Try to imagine the effectiveness of this ministry. So we have developed, through the Christendom paradigm, an idea of priesthood, an idea of clergy, an idea of an institution ruled by human power and economic power, etc., etc. It's time for us to put aside the Christendom paradigm and be the body of Christ, where every single member has something to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Something to give, something to do. Billy Graham said, you have two hands. With one we receive, one with the other we give.
Exactly. Right? Good idea.
Yeah. Well, this vision for the 21st century is needed not only in Paraguay and Argentina, but is needed in the United States of America and needed in Germany and places as well.
This that I'm sharing with you and I shared in our conference is something that for a number of years I've been teaching at Fuller. And the interesting thing in that context was that my students were students coming, most of them midterm missionaries from the United States, but a good number of them were leaders coming from overseas, from all over the world. And it was such a learning experience because I was sharing these issues with them in conversation with them. And they were landing these concepts to their particular context. And they were appreciating that this could work fantastically in Vietnam or in Africa or in Asia or Europe or here in the United States or anywhere in Latin America. Because these are not missiological principles taken from the books. These are principles taken from the book.
The book, yeah. It is really a return to New Testament ecclesiology,
strategies,
all of that, yeah. So it's a rediscovery, and sometimes we need to do that. because the church does become too hierarchical very quickly,
too institutional,
too addicted to power, too addicted to influence and affluence as well. So what kind of reaction did you get from the people who were here when you shared?
The immediate reactions that I perceived was during the time I was signing some of my books.
Signing books, okay.
After the lecture. It's a relative impression because people came with a book and saying, oh, I like the conference and this and that. Probably those who dislike what I say were not there.
To buy one of your books. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. But those who like it were there, and that made me happy.
Yeah, that was a good thing. But there was Q&A afterwards as well. Were the questions good?
Well, that's interesting, David. The questions were very good. And Ramon Medina was an excellent director of the orchestra. But the questions revealed or reflected the interest of people. Mm. They were not having a nap during the lecture. They were paying attention and reacting, and there was curiosity. There was the real interest in knowing more, which is good.
It means you need to come back and you need
right.
to do part two.
All right, I'd be ready. I'm not asking the applause of anybody. The only thing is, if people can take some of these ideas and do what the Bereans did, try them in the light of the Scripture and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And give a further step, prove it, exercise it, put it into practice. If it works, glory be to God. If it doesn't work, well, let's look for something else. But try it. The worst thing that we can do with the church today in the 21st century is to say, here things has always been done in this way, and not have the courage to change. And particularly when we have such a clear guidance in the Scripture, and on the other side, the presence and power and authority of the Holy Spirit on our side. The Lord will guide us even through new waters. It's necessary for us to be ready to do that and go with the risks. Through my ministry, I had a good number of moments where I had to decide if I was going to have a leap of faith, trusting the Word of God and trusting the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and not just repeating what has been maybe successful. But when I applied some of these ideas in my particular church, things worked to the glory of God and the extension of the kingdom.
Well, it was a great lecture. We're going to put a link to that lecture. Now, it's in Spanish for those who listen in Spanish, and so that anyone can hear that lecture, respond to it. We hope it'll go out across much of the world.
It will be. Remember that Spanish is the second most spoken language in the world. Today, I receive a message from a pastor, good friend of mine, in Munich, Germany, just a couple of hours ago, saying, hey, Pablo, I saw you in this video. Open it if you want to see it. Yes, I know. I recorded that 2 weeks ago.
So in
Germany, I don't know how.
Yeah,
but, you know,
well, it gets out, right?
The great thing about the internet is
that it gets to all these various countries, and this podcast will be heard in 5 continents that we know of at this point. And so we're grateful for all of our listeners in Cambodia and Ireland and in Australia and everywhere. Hey, listen, thank you for being with us today on the Stone Chapel podcast.
Has been my pleasure.
We'll look forward to having you back.
Well, all right. I'll be extremely happy to do that because I really love this place and admire the work you're doing here.
Well, we need your help on building our Spanish collection as well. All right. Thank you for being with us, and we're going to come back in a moment to hear your nugget of wisdom.
All right.
Thanks to Pablo Dieros for joining us today on the Stone Chapel podcast. He is truly a great soul. We get to see him from time to time when he comes through and drops by and spends some little time with us. He's given us today some important insights into the church in the 21st century. So we hope you'll pay attention and listen up and heed well. Thanks to Kathy Capes for editing this podcast. Thanks to Phil Keggy for our music. If you enjoy the podcast, why not subscribe? We drop every Tuesday, and when you do subscribe, give us a 5-star rating. It'll help other people to find us who are looking for podcasts, you know, like this. Until next week, I'm David Capes. Thanks for listening.
Whatever you do, do it right, and it will be useful forever. And I apply this in my life and ministry on many, many, many occasions with the blessing of the Lord.